Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's Vinnie with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinnie Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinnie's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio every week. And I do want you to check out the YouTube channel. It's Vinnie Eastwood NZ. If you happen to enjoy the American pronunciation of the letter Z, it's what it actually is, you know. But that's a side issue. There are a whole bunch of things you can look at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, ladies and gentlemen. You can search the name of any guest. You can search the name of any topic, subject you can think of. And I can pretty much guarantee you there will be something there to listen to. In some cases, years old, and are still as relevant today as they were when we first aired them. Those archives are available to everybody for free, ladies and gentlemen, because people like you listening give me $5 a week, $5 a month, 20 bucks a week, whatever. If you've got $1,000 that you want to donate every month, it's been done. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is going through strength to strength, and it shows no sign of slowing down. So I do want to thank you very much for your support, because it is absolutely integral to the continued success of the show, waking people up, saving human life, and getting the interesting stuff and, well, shall we say, the opinions and research findings of some of the most enlightened individuals on the planet. My very special guest joining me tonight has graciously given us his time. There's a pun in there, because his name is Lenny Time. Welcome back to the show. I think this might be the first time in a long time.
Yes, it was maybe 6 years that I first appeared on your show. So it's good to be back after a bit of a hiatus.
Yes. Well, broadcasting as well from Oregon, where they've just legalized cannabis. So a hiatus is the operative word. Now,
absolutely.
Lenny, we have a big list of things to get through here because there is, well, let's just say I want to preach to everybody love and togetherness, and the blue avian alien species has come here to say as much, but they said so in their literal language, which sounds more like buck buck. Now, speaking, we're just going to move on from that very quickly and get on to a more relevant subject, namely Matt Landman's movie Frankenskies.
Ah, yes. It is a movie that everybody should watch, because after you've watched it, you will know that we could bring criminal charges against certain people that appear in the beginning of the movie. Namely Al Gore, who, gee, talk about milking something that people care about for lots of money and not following through on what you say. But Matt goes through a lot of things in the movie, and I think everybody should make up their mind for themselves. And there's absolutely no reason that we should be spraying the planet with aluminum, barium, and strontium. And the first time I was on the show, it was because I was in the movie What in the World Are They Spraying?, Michael Murphy's movie. And everything I said in that movie still holds up to form. So we are looking at three elements there that do not have any real biological utility. And I can talk for hours about the chemistry of the topic.
Didn't Anonymous put out like a half-hour webcast about chemtrails?
Yes, Anonymous just did 2 days ago, and it talks about the work of Dane Wigington over at geoengineeringwatch.com, and we're all asking the same questions. With a preponderance of evidence demonstrating that, yes, there are planes flying just to fly the planes because they're taking U-turns and running circles, doing cross-check patterns. But we have lots of chemtrails, and they're not spraying for any good reason. So it's time to call a moratorium on the chemtrail spraying, and in fact call a moratorium on all corporate industrial pollution. Industrial disease, as Dire Straits called it.
Well, the question is here, with the overwhelming scientific evidence saying, stop spraying, how long is it actually going to take for them to look at the proof?
They're not going to look at the proof. Well, maybe after we replace three-quarters of them in a big pedophile scam, they'll look at the proof. But right now, there's absolutely no reason to look at the proof when they're bought and paid for by Monsanto, which holds patents for genetic engineering poisons in food. I mean, really, it's a Monsanity that that company is allowed to do business. But I tend to think that we have a fascist world here and that maybe the Germans won the World War II. Certainly doesn't seem like we won it, given the way most Americans are treated these days.
Well, I would say that somebody won it, but it was neither of the, it wasn't any of the countries fighting. It was probably the people that were financing all those countries fighting.
Yes, the banksters that were in charge, yes.
I think maybe if we put aside any of our patriotism, my grandfather died in that war, my father was sitting and having dinner when bombs was blown out. If you take the emotion out of it, you take all the real horrible experiences that actually happened to people and you just look at the situation logically, it's very interesting, right? How many things were justified as a result of World War II? What was all the things leading up to it? Who actually benefited? Where did the United Nations come from? And why were Nazi party officials appointed to be the very first leader of the United Nations? Why did the Rockefellers donate all of that land to build the United Nations that was formerly occupied by a slaughterhouse, right? These kind of things. If we have a huge threat presented, and they're financing both sides, so they're pulling the puppet strings either way, that means it doesn't matter what society wants to do. They will fight because the people in control of the countries and the armies and the finances command that they do. And as a direct result of that permeating trauma throughout society, you can justify any changes to the way global business, politics, or economics is run.
Yeah, well, there was a man in India in the 1930s who got tired of the British Empire dictating things. I believe his name was Gandhi. And he organized a trek across the country for the purposes of getting salt because he knew it came from the ocean. And by the time his satyagraha had crossed the nation of India on foot, the British Empire had begun falling. So I'd like to know what happened to the Nazis' eugenics research and how come it's off limits to us but seems to be on limits to a lot of other people. To tell you the truth, I wonder about the whole control system of what we've been taught in school, because we've all been educated under an American school system that is based on the Nazi school system and requires 100% obedience to the belief in the nonsense they teach us.
Yep, if it's a yes or no answer, it's an ABC question, there is a right answer, there is a wrong answer, and if you don't get the right answer, you're going to be punished for you. So essentially, you're adopting children into a situation of prolonged stress and judgment. And the most degrading thing you can do to a human being is to give them a grade.
Yeah, I tend to think you're right. I think middle school nowadays has a correlation in adult America to county prison.
Designs are similar.
Having fun at school to carrying 40 pounds of books. And what's this thing about homework? Why are they sending kids home with extra work? Isn't 8 hours a day enough work at school for the kids? Can't they actually be a kid for a while?
Well, if the goal of school was to help kids be kids and then later become well-adjusted adults, they failed miserably. But if the goal is to break their spirit, destroy their creativity, make them conformist, and to essentially act like an attack white blood cell to anybody who would question the status quo, then I think it's working pretty freaking well.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there. I kind of think that homeschool is the way to go, but you know how it is with us targeted individuals. Once they find out we're homeschooling, oh boy, then they really start harassing you.
Yeah.
Because breaking their law, even though, how can you follow all the laws? When was the last time you heard of a legislature anywhere sunsetting a law?
You mean repealing laws that were never to be done again? Never.
Yeah.
Now, the excuse is that if you're breaking the law, ignorance of the law is no excuse, which is why they've made millions of laws so that nobody could ever possibly know them all. And a recent poll in England has suggested that the average Londoner will, on a daily basis, break at least 7 laws. At least. Now,
oh, yeah.
Ayn Rand. Ayn Rand talked about this. She said something along the lines of the amount of legislation that would be built up over time through progressive governments would mean that nobody would be able to do anything or step out their door without breaking several laws. And that means that the system can essentially target anybody for any reason it wants, any personal reason it wants. And that's why all the surveillance, that's why all the drafting away of people's rights. It's simply to make people slaves when they were once free. And the way to do that is to take their rights away incrementally rather than all at once. Because if you take them away incrementally, they don't fight back as hard.
So now we have Minority Report crossed with Brazil by Terry Gilliam.
Yeah. Well, one can only hope. He probably...
Well, we could say that we have Franz Kafka, but I don't think anybody's ready for how dark Kafka really was.
I'm not...
Wrote some interesting stuff, but he was Russian, and we're not allowed to talk about Russians in this country.
Most people think that Kafka is a kind of macchiato.
I read Machiavelli's The Prince... And I was fascinated by how awesome the book was. And it's one of those books that is totally vilified, and you're never supposed to read it. Machiavelli means a very evil person. And you read The Prince, and it's almost like The Art of War by Lao Tzu. It is a very, very good work telling a prince who has inherited a kingdom how he should govern to keep his kingdom. And the way that it tells is to keep your people happy. Now, in Oregon, they let us get stoned. That keeps us very happy. But in other places in the world, they don't.
Like in New Zealand. Thank you, Peter Dunn. He's a guy who's been in our parliament for like a decade. And every single time he's like a one party, one guy out of like 180 or something. And every single time he becomes a part of the new government, he says, the only way you can get my support is to never have any changes of the laws on cannabis. Just a complete scumbag. And he needs to have his political career assassinated. Like, he needs to be demonized. He needs to have the facts come out about what a scumbag he is so that he won't get any more votes from these very, very foolish people who trust what he says.
Move into his district, run against him. Or find somebody to move into his district and run against him.
It's already happening. And it's interesting because it's cross-party support against this guy. It's quite interesting. I've never seen it happen. Both the left and the right are pulling or putting in their candidates into that guy's district and working together to oust him. I've never seen anything like it before. I've been watching this a long time, and it's good to see. Right, my friend Arik Rice, who made the film Drug Lord, is also making a little documentary piece specifically about this guy. So hopefully it won't be illegal here for too much longer. Now, this comes onto another subject we were talking about, Lenny, where we talked about how science, you know, how people say the science has settled on cannabis, it's got no medical benefits, it's not good for you, oh, it causes harm to society, right? Has actually become a religion, all right? And I see prohibitionists as a kind of religious front in a large kind of way. And it's the abandoning of reason and the complete dogmatic indoctrination of the scientific community is essentially destroying what science is.
Yeah, the G20 summit that they just had last week shows the ridiculousness of what we're talking about. The climate controls are total socialist and total pro-government control the people to keep them away from energy, which we could have freely if we use Tesla technology. But now what they're trying to do is they're trying to combat global warming when we're just about to move into the next little ice age. And they have no clue. They say that it's man-made global warming. But I want to know how all the men on Venus and Mars and Jupiter and Saturn, which are undergoing the same temperature changes that the Earth is, managed to get their industrial populations going to warp their planets. People have to be... What science has become is an old boys' network. And it's the only place where you publish your information and then you have full rights to anything you said to the exclusion of everybody else having rights to say it in any other way. So you've got patents and copyrights and publishers who they're gatekeepers on what's allowed out, first of all, and then you have to conform to the ideas already specified by them in order to have them even consider your work. Matt Landeman and I submitted a paper to Northwestern University for a conference that was held on the regulation of geoengineering. They're denying it's taking place, but they're also forming regulations to set it. So we wrote a paper on the social impact of geoengineering, and of course it was rejected, but, I mean, you can't get into their club to even debate the issue. I was a trader on the Chicago Climate Exchange in 2005, 2006, 2007 with a group called Wonder Earth Partners. And the entire Chicago Climate Exchange was a major fraud. We had 1,000 acres of timber that we decided not to cut because they offered carbon credits, and they wouldn't accept the count of how much carbon that timber actually absorbed because it wasn't the right type of tree specified in their protocols. But the protocols were for the governments and the corporations to trade, and it excluded people. We filed a complaint in 2010. They shut down the Chicago Exchange for fraud. It wasn't because our complaint was the only one.
Essentially, it's become a business, isn't it? Just like war.
Everything's a business. It's why we need to get rid of money. Yeah. The chase for money has become everybody's preoccupation, not for the value and the quality of life that money can buy. One of the things I have here is I'm on 36 acres of nature where I can just turn the camera around and let people look at what it looks like here. And you know how much I make a year? I don't make anything a year. I don't even have a Patreon account. I don't want their money. I don't need it. A friend of mine owns the land outright. I help him out with his gardens and his animal husbandry and his figuring out stuff. And we're going to set up a campus where anybody who has an idea in sustainable agriculture can come here and demonstrate it.
And we'll train
how to do anything. Build tiny houses, build a garden, make probiotic foods, burn biochar. We're going to do it here in Southern Oregon, and people only have to fly into Eugene and Medford and drive an hour and a half, and they'll get here, and we'll have a big party every weekend. But it's going to take us 2 or 3 years to get there, and it's going to cost some money because it's a tourist thing, because everybody wants to come to Southern Oregon because we have that legal wacky weed.
It's one of those interesting things that happens, isn't it? Everybody wants to flood in, but the opposite happens when people actually live there, as was the case in, I think it was the Netherlands, where while it was illegal, it was being used by about 1 in 3 people. After it got legalized, within a few years, that dropped to only 1 in 7 people. And an interesting phenomenon, and a survey was conducted as to why people actually gave up smoking cannabis after it was legalized, and the overwhelming response was that their social circles changed. They were no longer a criminal for using cannabis, so they no longer had to exclusively associate and hang out with criminals to get their cannabis, and they simply didn't contact them anymore, and they stopped using weed in general. Because their friends didn't have to smoke cannabis in order to be their friend anymore, right?
Yeah, but, you know, weed actually is medicinal. And the stuff they call Rick Simpson oil is an amazing substance. Rick has done an excellent job in extracting whole plant marijuana. And then I worked with Armand DeGarth so I can make the stuff. And I tell you, a maintenance dose, and I don't have any medications, nothing. No heart medication, no blood pressure medication, no diabetes medication. The only medication I have is that I like to puff on my pipe and smoke the stuff. But for the Rick Simpson oil, I take a little bit in a capsule twice a day, morning and evening. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't get me stoned, but I'm one of those strange people who smoke marijuana and get motivated. And anybody who says that everybody who smokes marijuana is lazy just doesn't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the most motivated people in the world I know smoke all the time consistently because it dampens their nervous system so they're not as high strung.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the thing. If you're all upset about the way things are going and the world is running past you, smoke a joint and chill out. There's nothing you could do. The only person you can change is yourself. And the way to do that is by lowering your frequency closer to the ground state. Some people can do it by meditation. I prefer smoking pot, but I do meditate also.
Yeah. Well, some people achieve that kind of high through meditation, but I like it to do it the natural way. Now, there is another element about this whole kind of thing. I mean, it branches into several topics. Is about the concept of how science is about proving how things work, rather than proving how you think they work. You know, it's not about your hypothesis. Once the facts don't support it, you've got to abandon that hypothesis, essentially. But a lot of people have, they've brought emotion into it, they've brought money into it, they've brought a whole bunch of corrupting factors, which can just stop the mind from thinking, this is the truth, that's what science is about, and I can't argue with it.
Yeah, there was a famous scientist who once said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And then he proceeded to make up this stuff called quantum mechanics based on the time and space of everything. And now he's currently deified. I prefer to call him Uncle Albert because the Beatles song. But Uncle Albert really was a sharp person, and the first thing he did was tell you, I have imagined this, and this is how I think it to be. And now they teach this stuff as though it's biblical gospel, hence a religion of science. But really, time and space are very limiting concepts. And if we are doing something called ascension, which is a supposed dimensional shift, we're not dealing with time and space anymore. We have a lot more broader latitude than to be restricted. So I think we've already invented space travel. I think the problem with our space travel, or not space travel, time travel. The problem with time travel is that when you go back in time and do something, when you come forward in time, you're now in a parallel universe. You're not in this universe again.
I have an interesting story about that, actually. I was going to interview Andrew Brashago, the time-traveling chrononaut, right, who's turned whistleblower, and we had a scheduling conflict. I love the irony of that.
Yes. I mean, we want time travel, but when we get time travel, then it becomes irrelevant when we got it, right?
Yeah, that's actually a line from Terminator Genesis. What do we want? Time travel. When do we want it? It's irrelevant.
Yep. And it makes complete sense that we already have it, because you can tell there is absolutely no way H.G. Wells could write some of the stuff he wrote, or Jules Verne, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea or Voyage to the Moon. Both of those so close to the party line that you can tell the party line was Photoshopped based on the novel. So that gets us to the question, are we really in the Matrix? Does it matter what we do? Or is it one of those things where when we make a decision, we generate a whole world with the opposite decision that we made, and if nothing really changes, the two worlds merge back on the same timeline? But every so often, you do something so bizarre that you never really get back to your old world. And so now there's more of you floating around distracting you. And in worlds where you have been generated but you don't belong because you were there to help a friend, you're irrelevant and you turn into one of the sheeple. So for every place where you and I are activists on Earth, there's probably dozens of us who are part of the sheeple holding a boring job doing what they were trained to do. But in this Earth, we happen to be Vinny and Lenny and having a good time on a radio show.
Well, I thought of it as a fractal holographic representation of collective consciousness co-creating itself, so that there is, in fact, a perfect loop between what you think, what you do, how it affects something, and then comes around and affects you and what you think and what you do and affect the cycle over again.
Boris, right?
Swapping
its own tail.
That's right, and it works on the macro scale as well as the micro scale. So within me, there's give or take 5 trillion cells. Within each of them, there's 5 trillion other even smaller organisms. Within each of those, there's another 5 trillion smaller organisms. So there's a universe within everything as small as an atom, and even smaller than that. Well as going all the way up. Now, what that means is that I'm a...
Sky are actually the cell nuclei of us.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think of it more as in terms of if you're part of an organism, one microorganism is a part of me, that means I'm part of another organism, right? And that organism is part of another organism that's bigger up the chain. So I think it's me, my cells, going down, and then it's me, the Earth, the galaxy, the red dwarf star cluster, the so on and so forth, going up. Now, that means that my vision of the entirety of existence is from a very unique standpoint called the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And out of all of existence, I get to be me, and I get to do this, and I get to have consciousness. I'm not an amoeba. I'm not a cockroach or anything like that. I think it's very encouraging.
Well, you know, my theory is that the cockroach and the amoeba both have human-type minds, and 80-year lifespans in whatever size scale they're in, so that within that fractal, they're actually doing human work, and they don't even think twice because the humans are some other being on some other scale. But it's like our dogs. I have a 50-pound dog. He's got a, what, 7 dog years for every 1 human year, so he'll live to be about 12. But he ages full cycle in those 12 years from puppy to old girl. It seems to me that that dog is smarter than I am in a lot of things. I don't see quite in the same way, but if the intelligence is even half of what it is as a human, at a quarter of the size, that means it's twice as good as we are with the hand that it was dealt. And the dog doesn't have a problem with loyalty or being my friend, whereas a human, gee, some people who I counted on and thought were my friends turned against me, and all of a sudden they're enemies, and then they want to come back and be friends again, and they don't even understand what they did that they didn't understand that just pissed me off in the first place. But that's the thing. People who are so involved in the money, I don't have anything in common with them anymore.
I'm actually, you started to notice that too, ladies and gentlemen, that once you start to get into the truth and how things really are, and you put your ego and your beliefs and a whole lot of them on the back burner because they're no longer relevant, all right, to the pursuit of truth. You realize that your beliefs were holding you back when it was actually acceptance of facts that was what was going to propel you forward. And I think we've got a lot of time to catch up, right? Like, how many years did you get indoctrinated through school and university and work and so on and so forth? You've got this whole spectrum of indoctrination throughout the entirety of your lifespan. And people then suddenly figure out 9/11's an inside job, and they think they've automatically unlearned all that's been programmed into them, when the reality is they actually take that same programming into the movement. That's why people wind up being as mainstream in this movement and as callous and as disregarding as other people's research and things of that nature as they ever were when they were a quote-unquote sheeple.
Yeah, so I have to agree with you. The anger and ferocity of people who have their opinion and want to be taken seriously because it's their opinion without the basis of any logical fact is amazing. And in science, I question, I think all scientists who work should question the science field they work in. And that's going to be hard because those underpinnings are the underpinnings of what we learn that we base our whole integrity of the field on. But I can tell you that maybe 80% of the chemistry I can agree with, and the 20% I can't, I knew I couldn't agree with earlier. I just don't have a better explanation. But here's the thing. When you get down to it, most of our knowledge of biology and biochemistry comes through something called crystal structure analysis. And what they do is they take an enzyme or a protein and they dewater it and they grow it into a crystal so that the pattern of the atoms repeats in logical units that they can then beam X-rays and other frequencies at and get an idea of what the distances between atoms are and tell which atoms are connected to other atoms. So we know the sequence of an enzyme positionally based on this structure that we had that came from an X-ray pattern that had no water in it, so that positive and negative charges from one molecule could align to the next molecule in that regular repeating basis.
So all of the mechanism and structure work of science is based on the theory behind this apparatus. Well, it turns out that Jerry Pollack at the University of Washington in his fourth phase of water demonstrated how water is over half the enzyme by weight and is integral in the activity of the enzyme. So that means that by dewatering the crystal before we grew it in order to get the spatial positioning, we altered all the spatial positioning. Sorry, it's entirely invalid. Throw it away. They can't do that. They'd rather argue that Pollock's not right.
Yeah. Well, I think once you've got something really invested into it, and in some cases you've spent years, decades of your life or whatever, and you come up to something that says, hey, bro, everything you've been working for this whole time and everything that you thought, it's actually useless and you've just been wasting your life, cunt. Are they going to go, oh, well, I'll just accept that readily. Thank you. Now I don't have to continue wasting my life and being an idiot, and I can just do something right for a change. I've had an opportunity to learn something and then use it. Use that knowledge, right? Because knowledge without use is useless.
Maybe all the GMO scientists will hear what you just said and take it to heart, because everything that we've been taught about GMOs is essentially propaganda of the Monsanto and their derivatives. And, I mean, just look at it. Where did Rumsfeld and Cheney come out of? I mean, Rumsfeld came out of Monsanto by way of Searle, and Cheney came from Halliburton. And they're so tied up in the defense and big industry, the mill industrial corporation, that even though Cynthia McKinney and Bob Steele are trying to unrig the system, I don't think it can be unrigged. I think we need a whole new system. And I think we need 15 or 20 different systems that we can try and see which one works. Because maybe capitalism will work for one or two things, but maybe a Mondragon model will work for something. Or maybe a socialist model. Or any model you want. Let's play role-playing games, model different environments and different politics, and keep track of what we're doing like a sports league does, and measure things that people do on an annual basis and compare it to what they did the previous year, and don't have measurements that are about the quality of people's work. Measure the quantity of people's work and have the value judgments left to the guilds that the people work in, because everybody wants to work as a professional and do the best job they possibly can.
Mm.
Change the whole thought process, and the only person who we can change thought process for is ourselves. So I've invented a game called Existence to try and do this. And I am now validating my statistics by playing fantasy baseball in a Yahoo League. And, of course, baseball is the American national pastime. I don't watch television at all. I haven't seen a baseball game in years. But I can take the statistics, the home runs, RBIs, batting averages, stolen bases, earned run averages, and strikeouts, and I can read which players are better than other players based on those performance measurements. Why can't we do that for kids at school?
It would be interesting to do because I think it takes a village to raise a child, is the old saying. And a lot of times you realize that every single structure of society has virtually no accountability. And as a direct result of having no accountability, they're going out of control. They're not performing very well. They're losing money. They're turning out stupid kids. They're killing people in the medical industry more than they're saving, virtually, you know. It's everything is screwed, and because there is no accountability and there is no critical analysis wholesale on a public wide level to hold them accountable and hold the bright lights of publicity on them.
I want to hold you accountable, and I want to say good job on the vaccine effort. That is so much important in the world that people stop taking these vaccines that are loaded with garbage. And I mean mercury and other different things that they want to slip in there, because really the goal is eugenics. And if we were talking earlier about the Nazi research, I want to see the research that they did in all those camps on the eugenics. Because you can tell that the pharmaceutical companies are obviously creating their drugs to take advantage of that research. So the fact that it hasn't been released, in fact, I want the entire Vatican library released. Isn't it about time that we got information about things? Shouldn't all information be open source? Can't we evaluate the information without somebody owning it? What's with the patent system and the copyright system that don't allow people to actually take advantage of the opportunity of building on somebody else's work? Copying is not theft, it's flattery.
It's a despicable system that we've gotten ourselves embroiled in, and what's difficult is that you realize that the vast majority of the population don't even think that there's a problem, right? Or they know that there's a problem, but they really can't be bothered taking personal responsibility to do anything about solving said problem or finding out how said problem works or was caused. They just keep going because they're distracted and they're poor and they're stressed. And ultimately, the only time that they get that's free, they don't want to spend that learning about what the business of scary people. They want to spend that escaping from this horrible reality that they're trapped and entrenched in.
That's why I figure the word job means just over broke. Because no matter how much you make, you're just over broke. Your bills are within 10%. Of the amount of money you make, usually in excess, not in shortage. Every so often you get a month where you might be able to save, but then they jack you around in something else. But I went homeless in order to figure out why people went homeless and found that it was a way better lifestyle than paying to live in a home. So I lived in my van for 4 or 5 years, traveling the West Coast, searching for a reasonable, intentional community to work with people. I came back to within half an hour where I used to live and decided I'd build my own community with a few of my friends. And I came here to work with a gentleman who was starting a program for localization. That's the opposite of globalization. It means everybody works on a local scale. And in fact, Kirkpatrick Sale wrote a book in the 1970s called Human Scale. That's the scale we need to be addressing things on. If you can't deal with somebody who's a direct representative to the decision-making process where you live, you're not part of the system. And so politics can only take place on a basis where you know the politician who is representing you from your district. So we're going to need a lot more public participation. So maybe we figure out a way to make it 2 hours a night on weekdays and let everybody be eligible just like juries are. Hey, you get to be administrator this week. Hey, you get to be lackey this week. But the professionals that do the work of the government need to really be there to do the work of the government. And I would suggest that you don't allow somebody to work for the government until they are retired from the working world. And once they move into government, they are never, ever, ever allowed to have another business position again. And that would close the revolving door between Congress and corporations that get a lot of
legislation passed on the sly and then have the people who wrote the legislation go back to the corporations to take advantage and make money out of it.
Yeah. You can't have shares. You know, you can't have any business dealings whatsoever. You have to basically give that all up, retire from your life of working, and want to devote the rest of your life to serving, right?
And we could develop ways of supporting people who serve in that capacity at any age so that they're taken care of, that they don't need to have a material salary if we wanted to go to that extreme. But the thing to do would be to imagine every extreme and let every individual role play themselves to create the environment that they would prefer to be in, and then we'll create those environments that people have preferences for. But right now it's all create the environment that some corporation wants you to slave labor for, and you and I know that doesn't work.
Well, it doesn't work for the slaves.
Oh, it works fine for the 0.1%.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't work for the slaves, but the slaves do work. It's just something that I am now realizing, right? I think it was a little while back, actually. Me and my friend, we went to another friend's funeral. It was a while down the line, so we had to get up real early. Like, I'm talking 4 o'clock in the morning, traveling south on the highway kind of thing. And there are people traveling north at 4 o'clock in the morning in gridlock heading to work in the city, right?
Oh. And that's bad design, isn't it?
All right, now that is slavery, okay? Yeah. That's fucking slavery, man. And it just makes me sick and sad at the same time.
I have to agree. I think we need to reinvent the world, and I think that's what's happening. I think what we're seeing is that they're really pitching this science fiction option where everybody can go and live on Mars and live happy. Go into space, become a part of the Space Legion. Aliens are going to save us. Oh, we're going to ascend and all go to different planets. I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of this stuff.
The only way love and peace is actually going to prevail on this planet is if we make it happen.
Yeah. Do the Gandhi thing. We do a satyagraha. We don't pay any attention to what's going on in the official world because we're too busy living our own lives.
Mm.
But they're not going to like that because we're not going to pay them taxes.
Mm. A satyagraha from Stalingrad to Baja. It'll be freaking awesome.
I mean, we just got to get it so that people stop fighting with other people and start addressing some of the real issues of the world. And one of those issues happens to be, why are we polluting everything that we touch? Don't we know better? We have a responsibility to other species, if nothing else. And I'm not sure it's all man's fault. I'm not going to go that far and blame things on anthropogenesis, but I do know that if we use our rivers as sewers, have oil spills that we'd rather throw Corexit on and sink than clean up, and do damage specifically for the purpose of rebuilding, I mean, that's the broken window fallacy. They prove that there's no logic to that.
What is the broken window fallacy?
The fact that if you bomb a country and then rebuild that country because it helps your industry make money, that net effect is you actually lose, you don't gain, because the process of destruction means you have to go back too far to actually make the advances you would have if you kept the old infrastructure. But I don't know. Crash
order,
and burn.
Order out of chaos. It's order out of chaos, right? And the thing about the psychopathic mindset is that people don't understand. They think that everybody thinks like they do, you know, with morals and with a conscience, with goodness, and not pure evil, ultimate scumbaggery and terrible ends. You know, why would somebody thirst for money and power and ruthlessly kill and exterminate anybody who opposed them? I just don't understand that, you know.
And because they don't, they buy into what they've been told, and that's why we have run into the problems. You know, it's funny, but I can see what's going to happen is that worldwide, something called the BRICS is going to take over the economic system because it makes a whole lot of sense. And you can already tell Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're working together on how to do something that will actually help everybody in their own way. But the United States is going to be excluded from that deliberately because we've essentially, you know the old joke. What do you call somebody who speaks three languages? Trilingual. Two languages, bilingual, one language, American. I mean, it just, people here are ignorant of anything beyond their little box of knowledge. And it's going to come hard when big ag and big pharma fail at the same time.
And then you got all those people. A third of the population is, at last count, of the adult population at least, who are on really dangerous medication that will have terrible side effects if they stop taking it.
And they're not going to have it available.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really what's coming to decrease the U.S. population, not a civil war. But it kind of has to come because essentially Big Pharma has been milking all those people for years, keeping them alive just to extract their resources.
Mm-hmm. And what was it? Chemotherapy kills about 96% of people who take it, but a round of chemotherapy is worth about $50,000 to the big pharmaceutical industry. So do they keep giving it to you and not giving you cannabis, which could be grown like a weed and then just easily with isopropyl alcohol or ethanol turned into a medical grade substance that will get rid of that cancer like that? Do they want to do that instead? No? Oh, why not? Because then it cures it, and you don't give them all your money.
I disagree with you. I think doctors kill 98% of the population.
Well, one can only hope.
I know, they really do. How many people actually die of natural causes without being sucked into the medical system for any reason at all?
When people think they're dying, they go to the medical industry. And then when it turns out that you could have just been given a magnesium supplement and your heart's palpitations would stop, you could just be given some weed and your seizures would stop.
Instead, they get you on Lipitor, which is a blood thinner, and you have to take Lipitor for the rest of your life.
Forever.
Forever, yes. Boy, we could make some real good vampire movies, except take out the vampires, put them in medical coats, and put big pharma patches on
it's,
them.
It's funny you should say that, because I've just finished my script called A Werewolf, where it's actually a werewolf in a big pharma coat, and he's giving werewolf medication to somebody who wants to ignore conspiracy theories, and then turns him into a werewolf instead.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'm working on a script for the movie Ecotopia. Yeah. It was an Ernst Kallenbach novel from 1980 about the Pacific Northwest seceding from the USA.
Well, and so, unfortunately, we're running out of time here. So if you want to wrap that up in like about the next 10 seconds, sorry.
Okay. It's going to be a neat movie. It'll be released sometime around 2025.
All right, awesome. Lenny Time, do you have a website there?
I do. It's at timeout.com, TimeHowD as in dog, T as in Tom.
All right, thank you very much.
I Skyped you a link to my comment on the movie Frankenskies.
Awesome. All right. Thank you very much. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll be right back after the break.